أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. My dear brothers and sisters, hope everybody is well. So I'd like to welcome all of you to another session on Shia Imamiyah doctrine. Last week, we got through three or four articles, if I'm not mistaken, from what I remember, if I remember correctly. The 15th article spoke about how man is, and man and the human being is a free being. The 16th article spoke about how if man has a pure fitrah, a pure tawhidi fitrah, we are born with a clean slate and we're born with an inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And plus we have intellect, plus we have free will, if we have all of that, that there is going to be, that this human being and this being has the ability and capability of refining itself, growing, making the right decisions, and then growing as a result of those right decisions that it makes. The 17th article was, okay, so now if we have the potential to grow, if we have the potential to refine ourselves, then there are some who won't do that. And because of all of this creation that Allah has done, all of the struggle and hardship that is a result of creation, if someone doesn't fulfill that potential that Allah has created them with, then they can be held accountable. So accountability and responsibility is what article number 17 discussed. And I gave the example of these NBA players and how when everything is set up for them, what there is an expectation of them to live up to that potential that they have. That's what they're getting paid for. And finally, the 18th article that we covered last week had to do with equality between amongst all people, all the children of Prophet Adam. And that if anyone's going to be higher than anyone else, the only way to be higher, the only measuring stick is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, how much a person has secured the purpose of creation. Yes? Purpose of creation was وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose of creation was that we reach a point of ubudiyyah and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the purpose of creation. So if the purpose of creation in Allah's eyes is that, whoever has secured more this purpose of creation is higher in Allah's eyes. And I explained last week how a person can gauge that. How a person can gauge that, it's very simple. Just see how much you are obedient to Allah when it comes to His wajib and haram commands. Some people ask about, you know, how we can judge others. I said, who cares about judging others? It's all about how high I get in life when it comes to this spiritual growth. Alaikum assalam to all the brothers and sisters that have joined so far. They're all saying salam alaikum. Yeah, I'm not going to read your names, but yeah, you are regulars. So welcome to the session. All right, so today or tonight, we have a few more articles that I want to cover before we end this chapter. And then in the end, inshallah, I want to talk a little bit about Sister Marzia Hashimi also, who, alhamdulillah, was released today. Just want to make a few comments about that as well. Okay, so article number 19. Article number 19 is speaking about how morality is an objective reality. Now, I know that there's a lot of books written on this, there's a lot of philosophical discussion and discourse on this topic of is morality subjective or objective, and so on. And if it is objective, how are we supposed to figure it out? Well, for a Muslim and for a believer, I think it's very clear and obvious. It's very easy, actually. Morality will be objective. Now, I know that there are some schools that might make it a little more subjective. For example, in classical theology, this morality will be subjective to God and what God does. Like, for example, the Ash'ari theology school of thought, theological school of thought, will hold that, yes, anything God does will be good. Now, we also believe the same thing, but there's a little twist to it that I don't want to get into in classical theology. So anyway, point being, if you're a Muslim, if you're a believer, usually it's very simple. What wahi tells you, what revelation tells you, and a few more things that we'll cover in this chap, in this article as well, these are ways to figure out what the objective what objective morality and goodness is out there. Okay, so for a believer, it's very simple. Wahi is going to be the main measuring stick for whether or not something is morally right, morally wrong, and so on. Wa alaikum as-salam, Brother Akbar. Okay, so let's get into it. Says, he gives some verses for this. Atila Subhani, he gives a few verses for this and to corroborate this idea. What he says, though, is that, look, I think it's better if I can just read off of the article instead of, because that doesn't have to be explained too much. It's very simple. How these principles and these objective morals that we have, they are something that are rooted within us, and they're not they don't change. It says, Article 19, ethical values which pertain to the very principle of humanity, meaning it has to do with someone's humanity, the humanity within us. In other words, he wants to take it a step higher. Assalamu alaikum, sister Shirmin. He wants to take it a step higher. He wants to say, look, not only are we going to rely on revelation, God has instilled it in us as well. So he says, all we need to have is humanity, insaniya. If we have insaniya, that's enough to figure out a lot of these morals. Ethical values which pertain to the very principle of humanity and which are thus rooted in the fitrah are permanent and immutable. They're permanent and non-changing. Neither the passage of time nor transformations in society can alter them. No matter how much society changes, no matter, quote-unquote, how much society progresses, still, these moral principles will hold. These ethical values will be the same. They won't change. Then he gives some examples, fulfilling promises and doing good and all of these things. These are all things that will always be good. It's not like they'll change over time. Yes, some people, when they mess with their fitrah, some people who get used to evil and doing evil, that's a different story. For them, evil is the standard now. Why? Because they've made themselves used to that. Okay, now let's look at the verses that he gives. And then I'm going to have some verses that I want to add, or at least one of the verses that I think he should have brought here, but I don't know why he didn't. So for example, he says the Quran speaks about this. He says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. On the day of judgment, Allah is doing good to others. Yes, when Allah is doing good to others and giving them good, it's only a response and a reward for the good that they did in this life. So there is doing good is rooted in this life and our understanding. I guess he wants to conclude. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah doesn't let the reward of those who do righteous deeds and do good to go in vain. He makes sure to reward. You know, to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I don't know how or why or how he's using these verses to prove his point. He just brings a few verses that speak of ihsan and being muhsin and being righteous. I think it would have been, there's two more verses that I didn't even say because I don't know how to explain it too well here. I can't figure it out. But it would have been better maybe when he's talking about all of this to say that Surah Duha or Surah Shams, excuse me, the verse where it says وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. Allah swears 11 times. Yes, he swears 11 times and he wants to draw a very important conclusion after these 11 times. And what is that conclusion? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The one who, this isn't the conclusion, this is one of the last things he swears by. He says وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. He swears by the soul itself and the spirit itself. And he says, that spirit which فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Yeah? The person, the soul that he created, and then what did he do after he created it? Inspired it. Inspired it with what? Fujuraha wa taqwaha, with the good and evil that it can have. So yes. It didn't say he sent prophets to explain it. It didn't say it like that. It said fa'alhamaha. Ilham means inspiration. It means to inspire. To very subtly let something know something. So here he says, I created the soul and I have inspired to it the fujur and the taqwa of this soul, the good and the bad that this soul can observe. In other words, there are some things out there that we as human beings who have a nafs can understand as a result of divine inspiration that Allah has given us. Everyone understands that lying is bad. Everyone understands that cheating is bad. Everyone understands that stealing is bad. All of these things, these aren't things that you need a prophet for to understand. Yeah, even if a prophet was not to be sent, we would understand these things. Yes, a prophet has to come for other things. For example, if a prophet has to come, or revelation has to come down for us to know that, yes, Salat al-Fajr is 2 rak'ah, not 4 rak'ah, and so on. But there are these things that are there, and they are unanimously accepted. To the extent that some of these dictators, when they are oppressed in their own way, of course, in their own from their own perspective, like sometimes they'll say, some of these dictators who get stuck and now are being brought to justice, they'll say, I'm being oppressed. Even he understands, who had oppressed 1,000 people before, thousands of people before, understands that oppression is bad. That's why if he himself gets oppressed, he's like, I'm being oppressed. Yeah, if you understood it, why'd you do it yourself? Doing things is one thing. Understanding the good and bad in them is another thing. Sometimes a doctor might know the bad in, I don't know, smoking, but he'll still smoke. Yeah? You'll have doctor friends that'll spend 2 hours doing smoking, you know? And you're like, hey, don't you know it's bad? He's like, I know it's bad, but he still does it. Now, that's interesting. So, same thing here. Just because some people know it's bad doesn't mean they'll necessarily act upon it. But what we're talking about right now is that this ilham has taken place. Yes, brother Sayyid Mahdi Jafri. So Allah has endowed us with at least, you can say, a simple, basic knowledge of good and evil. All right? If that's the case, that we've been endowed divinely, that means this won't change, because it was given to us through a divine ilham by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's exactly what article number 819 that we're on is trying to say, is that there are some things that we know and they won't be changing. Yeah, the reason why they won't be changing is because it's divinely inspired. It came from above. It's how we were created. We will always understand certain things. But this doesn't mean that we will understand everything of Islamic law or divine law. No, but there are some basics that we will know. Okay, article number 20 says, and wants to get across to us that, and we kind of maybe talked about this a little bit before, but he really opens it up here. He says that there are, this chapter talking about man and mankind, right? So now, one of those things that belongs to mankind, which is his actions, is discussed. He says, the actions of mankind have an effect on the world that we live in, the natural world that we live in. He says it very clearly. Article number 20, let me pull it up real quick. He says, the actions of man, apart from entailing an appropriate reward or punishment in the hereafter, are not without their consequences in this world either, in this dunya either, in this natural world. Indeed, some events in the world are direct results of human actions. This pertains to a subtle reality, one which the revelation has alluded to. So he says that in wahi, or through the imams, or through the ma'sumin, whoever it is, who has a connection to above, has been disclosed by these individuals to us, and of which man has an inkling. Then he brings some verses for this as well. Brothers and sisters, this is very clear. It's very clear that what we do At least will have an effect on our own lives, let alone the natural world. So he brings the verse, verse 96 of Surah A'raf, where he says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Which means, if only the people of the qura, the, let's say, villages, yeah, amanu, had believed, embraced faith when the prophets came to them with faith and religion, wattaqaw, and then in addition to embracing the faith, this is important, had practiced the faith with taqwa, with obedience of God, and listening to God, and God-wariness. I explained this taqwa last week. What would we have done in return if they had done that? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We would have opened up to them barakat and blessings from the from the sky and the earth. It's interesting how it says مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It doesn't say مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Yeah? It could have said مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, which means the heavens, and someone might say that's the metaphysical world. No, it's interesting how it says مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the sky that's above us, and the earth that we're on. He would have opened up doors to these blessings. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Nadir. Walakin, but what did these people do? If they had done that, we would have done this for them. But instead of amanu wattaqaw, what did they do? Kadhabu. They denied our signs, turned away from our signs. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So we retaliated with what they were doing themselves. It's interesting, once again, the wording of this verse, the end of it. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ means we took them. Took them, of course, took them in punishment. But what type of punishment? A punishment that's coming from God, or is just the natural outcome of what they're doing themselves? It says, we took them in punishment through what? Through that which they themselves were doing. In other words, what they were doing was translating to punishment. Yeah, so this is something that we need to get across to our youth as well. Those Sunday school teachers out there who might be listening tonight or later on with the recording, I don't know. We have to instill this in our kids that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting us know, just like a mother and father who tell us that we have to go to school, because if we don't go to school, we'll grow up to be nobodies. They're letting us know the link between not working hard or not studying hard and being a loser in life. They disclose that to us. That's the job of a mother and father, is to encourage their children to do what's right. Now, of course, the schooling system is full of scams as well. But just saying, for example, they have their kids, they encourage their kids to make the most of the time they have as youth, to make the most of school, to work hard once they graduate from school. Why? Because there's a link between not working hard and not studying hard and being a loser in the future. Yeah, they disclose that link to us. The same way the parents do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a prophet, the Qur'an, who discloses to us the link between good deeds and bad deeds here, and them equaling hardship on the other side, or felicity and happiness and comfort on the other side. Other side meaning in the hereafter, after death. That's their job. Or else what's happening to me on the other side is just a manifestation of my good or bad deeds here. I am just reaping what I have sown in this life. We have to understand that. It's not like we do something bad, and then on the other side God says, okay, let me get you back now. Let me punish you. No, that's not how it works. As a matter of fact, it is just our own doing that we're seeing now, just translated into something else. That's how the wording of this verse is. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Either we can translate it like that, or there's another way of translating this verse too. It won't have that same meaning that I just said. It'll have another meaning, but not too far off either. Anyway, what I just explained, we have that in other verses as well. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. For those of you who might know صَرْف and نَحُ, it all depends on this ma here. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. If this is ma mawsula, then it means what I just explained. If it means If this ma is ma masdariya, then the meaning will change a little bit. Okay. Wa alaykum as-salam, Sister Sayyida Fatima. Alright, that's one verse that he brings here. Another verse that he brings, Surah Nuh, verses 10 to 12. وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Another verse that shows that there's a link between what we do here and the world above, the metaphysical world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The effect our actions have on this dunya. What is it? These verses. Prophet Nuh says, I told my people, I told my nation that they should do istighfar, they should repent from their sins and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He is all forgiving. Innahu ghaffara. And if you do that, what will happen? Yursil as-samaa alaykum midrara. He'll send down the sky on you. Yeah? Meaning what is in the sky of rain. In abundance, midrara, it'll just flow down on you. So it's not just drizzling. It's not going to drizzle the way, you know, how we get snow in Dallas once a year. And if that happens, it's just for a few seconds, you know. No. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. And he'll help you and add to that أَمْوَالٍ, wealth, بَنِينَ, sons and children that can help you. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he'll give you, and he will make for you rivers and streams. Of course, water is life. Water is sustenance and brings about sustenance. So, once again, we see that all of these things are a result of istaghfiru rabbakum. If these people were to do istighfar, were to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, that would be a result. This would be the result of what they were doing. But now, did they do that? Did they not do that? That's another story. All right. I want to add a verse here that he has not brought here. And I think I alluded to this a few sessions ago as well. And that is, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Surah Rum, verse 41. It reveals something here for us, discloses again the link between what we do and the natural world. I'm just going to read off of what Allama Tabatabai says in Al-Mizan regarding this verse. I didn't read off of Al-Mizan before, I'll read now. He says, وَالْمُرَادْ بِالْفَسَادِ الظَّاهِرِ. When the Qur'an says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that it has become, that it has come to existence, corruption has come about in the land and in sea, as a result of what the people are doing. Yes, this is not talking about pollution. I don't know why some people think this verse is talking about pollution. I checked all these tafasir, I couldn't find it. Anyway, Allama Tawatai fi in Al-Mizan, it says, this fasad, this corruption that is coming about, what is it meant by that? Al-Masa'ib wal-Balaya al-Zahira fihima. The Masaib, the tragedies and balas that come about in the land and in sea. Sometimes a ship sinks. Now, I don't want to say every ship that sinks is a result of some sins that some people have done. No, no, of course not. But sometimes it might have to do with that. We don't know. الشَّامِلَ لِمَنْطَقَةٍ مِنْ مَنَاطِقِ الْأَرْضِ. These tragedies that happen in some parts of the world sometimes, he says. مِنَ الزِّلْزَالِ, of earthquakes. قطع الأمطار, it stops raining. سنين, drought. And أمراض, sicknesses and illnesses and epidemics, you know. الحروب, battles and wars. Of course, this for sure is going to be a result of man's doing. والغارات وارتفاع الأمن وبالجملة كل ما يفسد النظام الصالح الجاد. Every single thing that comes up of those things that will distort the natural flow of things in this natural world. Yeah? He says, these can all be affected by the doing of man. Now, sometimes these bad things that come up, they themselves are a result of bad things that people are doing. So for example, some people in a land are sinning. What happens as a result of that? You have an oppressive ruler that comes over them and takes over them. this oppression that this tyrant ruler has over these people itself is the result of a bad decision by this tyrant ruler. So sometimes the evil that some people do will bring about another bala that has to do with the evil of someone else. And sometimes no, the bala that befalls a people as a result of their wrongdoing has nothing to do with ill intentions and wrong decisions of others. It's just something natural will befall them. Allama Tabatabai, he says, all of these things fall under this category. Okay? That is article number 20. Yeah, that's all he says in article number 20. He wants to make that link between what we do and the natural world. Article number 21, and of course, if you have questions, don't just sit there and watch, ask. Last week we had some good questions. Inshallah, this week, if you have questions, ask as well. Don't be intimidated by me. Some people, they tell me we're intimidated. I'm like, come on, there's nothing to be worried about when it comes to me. All right, article number 21. If this last article that we covered was talking about the link between our individual actions and the natural world, here Ayatollah Subhani wants to talk about the link between the actions of a ummah, of a nation, as an ummah, as a people, and what effects that can have. Okay, so this is a little different. For that, let me just read off of the article itself. I think it's pretty clear. He says, the advance or decline of people is bound up with a complex series of causes, which, leaving aside the influence of external factors, is rooted chiefly in the way in which religious beliefs and moral principles are assimilated by the people themselves. So he's saying that the people themselves are the ones who are molding their futures, are molding the way things are for them as they live. A people, an ummah, a nation itself is what determines its future, determines its circumstances. It's not like God is sitting up there and He's always just commanding, okay, this has to happen to you now, this happens to you now. No, no, no. The Quran even clearly says this. Once again, He doesn't bring this verse, but we've all heard this verse that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that Allah won't bring change for a people unless they bring about change amongst themselves and do something themselves, for themselves. So He just wants to make this point that, listen, just because Allah is in charge of everything doesn't mean that a people, as a people, in their entirety, as a whole, don't play a role in their circumstances. As a matter of fact, they do. And as a matter of fact, this has to do with Allah's divine decree. Sometimes we think divine decree, we think this qada and qadar al-ilahi, this divine decree is something we have nothing to do with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sitting up there and He's dictating everything. No, we are the ones who actually dictate what will happen to us. He's sitting up there and He's doing His part as well. Now, we will understand sometimes how much He's intervening. Sometimes we won't understand. Sometimes we'll experience that. We'll see that. Sometimes we won't. And as a matter of fact, He says, Ayatollah Subhani, he says that this not only does it not go against divine decree, it actually corroborates it and supports it. Now, how that is, inshallah, sometime later we'll discuss it. So it has to do with our beliefs, one, and two, our actions as well, as a whole, he says. So he gives an example. If there's a society who has based its social interactions and relationships and norms and based all of that on the principle of justice, yeah, then this society will have tranquility. It'll be a good, calm society, he says. But if there is a society out there that bases it on other things, then they're not going to have a good fate. They're going to have a bitter fate. You know? He says this is what the Quran calls Sunnah Ilahiyya. These are those traditions of God. This is what this is the way of God. These are the ways of God. So he gives an example. He says this. In other words, this is how God does it. Okay, when God wants to do things, when it comes to a nation, he says here, you have different paths Each path that you take dictates what you're going to get. Very simple. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. It says, he's giving this verse to just to show that yes, Allah has a sunnah. Allah has His own way of doing things. And His way of doing things has to do with how we deal with things. The decisions that God makes for us is based on our decisions that we make for ourselves, in a sense. That's one way of putting it. It says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا إِسْتِكْبَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَكْرَ السَّيِّئِ وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سُنَّةَ الْأَوَّلِينَ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. When a warner came unto them, it aroused in them not save repugnance. If I'm reading that correctly, man, just translate it normal. What are these hard words? So it didn't. When a prophet would come to them, when a warner would come to the people, what would they do? All they would do is just more hate. They would just run away from that prophet more. That's all they would get out of it. You know, sometimes someone comes to you with something that is to your benefit, and all you get out of that thing is what? Is the fact that you turned away from it. That means you didn't get anything out of it, really. So nufuran, that is just distance. That's all they got from it. They ran away from it. When a prophet, a warner would come to them, they would run away from it. Why? Istikbaran fil ard. Out of istikbar, arrogance. That's why. Behaving arrogantly in the land and plotting evil, the translation says. But وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئِ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. They're plotting evil, but evil will only encompass them. And they'll be subject to that evil. Now, probably in the Akhirah, and even in this dunya. فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ. This is the part that he wants to bring as support for what he's saying. He says, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سُنَّةَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Then, can they expect anything other than the treatment of those who came before them? Yeah? Those who came first? Thou wilt not find for God's way, the sunnatullah, any substitute. God has one way of dealing with people, only. And you will not find a way to change for God's way of dealing with people. It says, sunnatullahi tahwilan wa sunnatullahi tabdila. Sometimes you want to get in the way of something, sometimes you want to change something. You want to do tabdil, change something? The word for it is tabdil. You can't change God's way of doing things when it comes to the people. God has a way of dealing with people. That's how He's going to deal with them. And sometimes you don't want to change it, but you want to get in the way of it. You can't. You can't get in the way of it either, if I'm not mistaken. Alright, so this verse is to show that, okay, God has a way of doing things. What is that way of doing things when it comes to a people? He says, Atul Subhani says, is if they just make the right decisions, they will get good. If they don't make the right decisions, as a people, their society will also go down. And that explains a lot of the problems that different societies out there today have. Alright, so as you've noticed, these past two articles are all about the relationship between what we do and this dunya, not our akhirah. Yeah, the akhirah we all know for sure that there is a link. He wants to add to that. Article number 22 is a dramatic one, let's call it. He says, a very hope-inspiring, dramatic. He says, look, things don't look too good in this world that we live in. Yeah? And we're not... The more we're progressing materialistically, the more we're progressing technologically, the more you notice that we're not progressing spiritually when it comes to humanity and when it comes to those ethical values that he was talking about in the beginning of our session. Says that's what we notice. We notice that we're not getting too far when it comes to these things. But don't lose hope. The history of mankind or the future of mankind looks bright. Well, he's going to have to explain that. He's going to have to prove that. Article number 22. Let me read it for you. The destiny of man holds out a bright future, he says. It is true that human life is in large part accompanied by inequality and hardship. But this will not always be the case. Human history is moving towards a better future, one in which a comprehensive system of justice will prevail. Well, what's your reason for this? Ayatollah Subhani, Can you see the future? Are you figuring things out? Are you guessing? What's your reasoning for this? He says, because of the Quran. So he brings about three verses of the Quran that highlight this idea and notion of the future is bright. Surah Anbiya, verse 105. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That we have written in the Zabur, which is the book of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, we have written in there, min ba'd al-dhikr, that after the dhikr, now dhikr means reminder, I haven't looked at tafsir, what it means exactly, in the Zabur of Dawood, after the dhikr and reminder, what have we written? And أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. In other words, the Qur'an is saying, we wrote this in the book of Dawood. Yeah? We wrote in the book of Dawood, but we're mentioning it here because it's true. So we're reminding you. Or those of you who never saw the book of Dawood, which is almost nobody today, or 100% nobody today, that أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That my righteous servants shall inherit the earth. Oh, yeah. So that's one verse he cites. I'll have to look at the tafsir of this verse a little bit deeper. It just came across my mind right now, actually. That أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Usually, the tafsir that is given is that, you know, during Imam Mahdi's time, those who are righteous will eventually take over. But some might say that, no, this, when it says that the earth will be inherited, it is talking about يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. There are some who believe that Jannah will be on this earth. And this earth will of course expand or change in a way because the Qur'an does say, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضِ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ, that there will be a day that the earth will change and transform into something else other than the earth. But that they say that Jannah will be on this earth. Now some might say that this verse is talking about then. But the majority of what, from what I understand and know, is that this, the verse, the tafsir and interpretation of this verse has to do with the end of akhir zaman, or end of times as they call it, when the righteous people, with the help of the Messiah, or the Mahdi, alayhi salam, will be the ones who will inherit the earth. Surah An-Nur, verse 55, says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّكُمْ أَوْ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That God has promised and vowed. Who? He's vowed those who believe of you and عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and are righteous. You see, I like how the Qur'an pairs these two all the time. Good faith, proper beliefs, and what? An action. The righteous deeds. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He will surely make them to succeed and be the khulafa and representatives of Allah, or succeed, meaning to take over those who are evil, to take them over and to be the ones who take their place as rulers of the earth. The same way he put righteous individuals as his representatives or as his khalifas, or as the ones who followed the evil tyrants in the past. So this is once again one of those sunnats of Allah, one of those sunnatullahs, one of those ways of doing things that Allah, the way He does things, is that after a long period of time, those who are enduring and keep on the right path, eventually they're the ones who are victorious. Yeah. So that's another one. Last verse, بَلْ نَغْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ الزَّاهِقُ. It says, Surah Anbiya, verse 18, that we hurl the truth against falsehood and it breaks its head. Yeah, فَيَدْمَغُهُ. And lo, it vanishes. That this batil goes. Or جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ. Although that verse is talking about a specific thing. But anyway, it can be also generalized as well. Or there's another verse of the Qur'an. There's a couple more that keep coming to my mind and going. Let me see if I can remember them. I can't remember right now. That are clearly talking about a time that will come that the righteous will be the ones who are victorious, or the ones who are inheritors of the earth. Last article, or, oh, we still have two more articles left. Oh, three more. Okay, we have a lot more left. All right. Excuse me. So, moving on. Article number 23. Article number 23 talks about how the Quran has put its finger on the karama of the insan. Karama means nobility and honor of insan, of the human being. Who says, verse number 70 of Surah Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. It says, verily we gave honor and honored Bani Adam, the children of Adam. So it's talking about all mankind here. It's not talking about just the mu'mineen. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We had them cross land and sea and travel over land and sea. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. We sustained them and blessed them with the pure things of sustenance. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ and gave them preference over كَثِيرًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا, over many of those whom we have created. تَفْضِيلًا, a preference. We preferred them and gave them a preference over all. So we've honored man and mankind. Okay. He says, this is a principle. This is a Quranic principle, he says. So, anything that's going to go against this honor of mankind is going to be a problem in Islam. And Islam's not going to allow it. Yeah? So, right here from the get-go, you can tell that Islamically, like, it's not about turning the other cheek and getting slapped in the other cheek. If someone slaps, it's not like I'm going to turn my cheek and say slap again. It goes against the honor of a person in Islam. He brings a hadith, وَلَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكْ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرَّا. Yes? He says, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't be the slave of another while Allah has created you free. Another hadith, إن الله تبارك وتعالى فوض إلى المؤمن كل شيء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and has given the put decisions in the hand of mankind. فوض إليه إلى المؤمن كل شيء. Everything has been delegated to us, and we are allowed to make decisions regarding everything except إلا إذلال نفسه, except belittling himself. Yes, this honor is very important, Islamically, he says. Now, of course, this also is a topic to talk about. You know, what are the boundaries of that, and so on. He doesn't mention it here. He doesn't talk about it. It's just a chapter on the human being and mankind, and that's why he's just bringing these principles in right now. Maybe he'll elaborate later. Maybe he won't. But it is the job of Islam to specify, yes, and to draw these boundaries exactly where they're supposed to be. Or else we can't really always be able to tell. So for example, it says, وَلَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكْ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرًّا. For example here, don't be the slave of anyone else while Allah has created you free. Well, someone might argue that, you know, well, in Islam, back then, still we had rulings when it came to how you're supposed to have slaves. So wait a minute, how does that even if someone was Muslim, they might still be the slave of someone else. So how does that go? How does the honor work here, and so on? As I said, there's a lot more to talk about here, but he's just speaking in general right now. Yes, the default, the general rule in law is that this honor and karama that the Quran speaks about is something that cannot be compromised that easily. Okay, that's that article. Next article, Brother Muhammad Haidar asks, can you explain again where the place for Allah's intervention is in the divine decree? Is God really intervening if it was in His plan to do so? This, once again, as I've hinted at before, this has to do with the whole topic of predestination and free will and all of that. Inshallah, I hope that he's going to talk about these in the future. When we get into the Tawheed section of his book. Right now, it's hard to talk about this qada and qadar, divine decree and measurement, and, you know, these things. It's hard to talk about it right now. Inshallah, when the time comes, we'll We'll get to it in detail. There's a lot to talk about there. And Brother Dawood has kind of answered. He says, Allah gives us the option to choose between what is right and wrong. We just can't blame everything that happens to us on Him. Yeah, definitely. That's exactly the point. And that's what Ayatollah Subhani was saying as well. He said, look, God decides based on our decisions. This is super important. There are some people who take God out of the equation. That's a problem. There are some people who will take us and our decision and our free will and choice out of the equation. That's also a problem. Amrun bayn al amrain, the Imams have taught us. It's something in between. I'm pretty sure he's going to get to it in the Tawheed section. If not, we will definitely cover it in our Tawheed course, but that's not something online. That just goes from city to city. So, but I'm pretty sure he will cover it as we go on. This qada and qadar is something that, you know, a lot of people have questions on. He's definitely going to cover it in the Tawheed section. And if he doesn't, and if I remember, I'll cover it, inshallah. Okay. Article 24. Says that, as was explained before, of course, what sets us apart from other creatures and other animals, of course, is the power that Allah has given us to use, our intellect, the intellect that we have, which also leads to our free will and so on. He says, as a result of that, we've always been asked in the Quran to reflect, to think, and ponder over things. He says, to an extent that thinking about the different signs of this world, the nature even of this world, yeah, and those beautiful things of this world, he says, thinking about these things, have all, to the extent that this has even been encouraged. So, he says, well, interesting, I have something has dripped on the book here, so I can't read off of it. It says, from the viewpoint of Islam, the intellectual, this is the part that I can't read. All right, but yeah, it's nothing too out of what I explained right now. I'm looking at the Farsi right now, the text, and that's what he's talking about. He says that to the extent that we've been asked by the Quran to reflect when it comes to even our surroundings of the natural world. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ This verse of the Quran that, you know, is also recited, may Allah give us that tawfiq, is recited, this and its previous verses are recited when someone wakes up for Salat al-Layl. Brother Muhammad Haydar has the book apparently. Alright, so yeah. The thing that has dripped, Muhammad Haydar, the thing that has dripped on my book, it's dripped on a few lines, you know, and so you'll have to type like 6 lines of it. It's not that important, it's okay. But thanks for helping out here. Alright, so let me bring up that verse. Actually, I love these verses of the Quran. He's only brought one of them or two of them. I'm going to bring the whole thing. These verses are verses that people who wake up for Salat al-Layl, they'll recite sometimes. Surah Al-Imran, verse 190. Till 190 to 194. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. It's beautiful. ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. Translation. Let me choose one of these translations. Okay. It says, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alteration of night and day. So a person has woken up for Salat al-Layl, wants to speak to his Lord. He wants to speak to his Lord. These verses that are recited, they have to do with the creation of the heavens and the earth. night and day. It says, indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of night and day, there are signs for those who possess intellects. You see? Right there, it's pointing out that, look, what, look around you a little bit. And then use your aql. Think a little. Think a little bit. Where did all of this come from? The next verse says it. أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and even lying on their sides. You want to go to sleep or you've woken up, you're remembering Allah. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth. What do they say? Our Lord, you have not created this in vain. That's the conclusion they come to. They use their intellects, use what Allah has given them of the five senses. They register the data around them of all of these signs of God. That's registered, they ponder over it, reflect. All of this is an accident. All of this is in vain. There's a God who created all of this, but there was no purpose for creating all of this? Of course not. Oh Lord, you have not created this in vain. Subhanak, what a dumb thing to say. You're much higher than this. Immaculate are you. Subhanak, how could you do such a thing? Create all of this in vain. The all-wise, all-powerful. God, create this thing, these things in vain. See, so he's trying to, Ayatollah Subhani is trying to say, look, these are the things that we're supposed, these are the conclusions we're supposed to come to. Yeah? Not to use these minds to cause havoc, to, I don't know, make nuclear bombs, things like that. These minds have been given to us to think about these things so that when we come to certain conclusions, we fix our actions in life. We live and lead righteous lives. We lead lives where society benefits from us, our communities benefit from us, our families benefit from us, our own selves benefit from our actions. Immaculate are you, Subhanak, save us from the punishment of the fire. Our Lord, whoever that you make enter Jahannam will surely have been disgraced by you. It's a disgrace to end up in the hellfire. And the wrongdoers will have no helpers. Our Lord, we have indeed heard a summoner calling to faith. سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي We've heard someone calling us. Now sometimes that person that's calling you is a holy, is a prophet of God. Sometimes, it's as the, some hadiths call it, it's the inner messenger that we have. Which is what? Which is our mind, which is our intellect. We look around, our mind tells us, look, all of this can't be batil, can't be in vain. There must be something out there. Go look for it. Something is summoning me. To do what? Declaring, have faith in your Lord. This summoner, this caller, this munadi, what's he saying? He's saying, have faith in your Lord. Aminu. Birabbikum. Since this caller is calling us, fa'amanna, and so we accept and we embrace faith. So we believed. Our Lord, Rabbana, forgive us our sins and absolve us of our misdeeds and make us die with the pious. When we leave this world, make sure that we live this world in a pious state and we can be counted amongst the pious. So this is one verse he brings to show that, okay, if this is our intellect, if this is what sets us apart from all these animals, this is what this, that which sets us apart is supposed to do. This is the function of it. It's supposed to push us in such a direction. That's what the Quran is telling us. And of course, there's a lot of other verses also that, you know, we've all come across. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ Do they not think? Do they not ponder? On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hold many people responsible and accountable just because of the aql that He gave them, the intellect that they enjoyed. Although they didn't see a prophet. Although they didn't see an imam. And it's also because of this that he says in the end, the last line, he says, and it's also because of this intellect that the Quran talks about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we can't just follow whatever our forefathers did. Now, this is an important one. He says, following in a very, what's the word for it? Let me see what the translation says. Unreasonable, unaccounted for, or here it says blind. Okay, that's good. Can't just blindly follow our forefathers. I spoke about this in depth before, that when it comes to God and the beliefs, Islamic beliefs, it is okay to follow others, although some might say that's not appropriate. And I explained why I was saying that. Not me, of course, these ulama, they say that. In the end, it's a conviction that we have to have in God. Here, when it says blindly follow, that means we're not even sure ourselves that this is the right thing or the wrong thing to do, but we're just doing it because our forefathers did it. And I have to say that even the Shia and the Muslims also, we are suffering from this problem. We don't like to read anymore. We don't like to listen to or attend classes too much anymore to learn. Now it's all become just do it the way it's been done. No. There are things that we are doing this in this day and age. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they go against Islam. Sometimes the things that are red lines in Islam, sometimes the things that are more, that are priorities in Islam, they're not being adhered to. And more importance is given to things that are more cultural. So now no one denies the importance of culture. Culture is the glue that keeps everything together, that keeps us stuck to religion. Culture is the way we carry out religion sometimes. Yeah, but at the same time, this strong glue sometimes will cause problems as well. And you will find that a wrong practice is out there only as a result of what? As a result of blindly following and just going with the flow. Yeah, so the Quran is saying this. Now, there's a lot more to talk about here as well. There are some places that you're not supposed to ask questions. You're not supposed to reflect and ponder. Yeah, usually when it comes to Islamic law and Islamic rulings, that's what you'll find. That, okay, if God's law is to pray 5 times a day, for example, well, you can try to figure out why God would say that. But at the same time, if you don't figure out why, if you know God said it, you'll do it. Yeah. So, there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to skip some of that, and I'm just going to continue. So we have two more articles left, but we don't have time anymore. So I just want to end with just a few points regarding what's happened recently. Our sister, Marzia Hashimi, who was in prison for 10 days, alhamdulillah, she has been let go now and freed. The thing is, brothers and sisters, the problem is that now for us living in this part of the world, in America, it's not about being Muslim or not or anything like that. It's about, look, if you're a citizen of this country, why is it that the rules, you know, are different when it comes to you, when it comes to some of us? Now, with Sister Marzia, we find that she was African-American. She is a hijabi. She is a woman. She's a Muslim. All of these things, unfortunately, I don't know what it was that they took her in. And alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters out there, they stood up for their Muslim sister. And not just Muslims, even non-Muslims, I know, were helping out and were trying their best to, you know, do whatever they could. And alhamdulillah, she has been freed. But the thing is that this can't continue. And now they had scheduled some protests, I don't know, in different cities across America. And now that she's been freed, you would think that, okay, they're not going to have those protests anymore. But it's interesting, what they did is that they said, no, we are going to still protest because this is not acceptable. As an American citizen, you can't just take somebody in like that. It doesn't make sense. Take them in. And of course, we all heard about how she was dealt with and how she was treated, especially those first days that she was taken in. That's not acceptable by the laws of this country even. So the brothers and sisters out there in different cities, they have organized, you know, rallies that inshallah the brothers and sisters will show their support so that this stuff stops happening. It's not acceptable. It's interesting. We had Martin Luther King Day just a few days ago as well. The irony, really. The irony. The unacceptable irony. What can we say? It's not really a surprise, though. So inshallah, next week we'll continue. I was trying to finish these two last articles. Didn't get the chance. But inshallah, next week we'll finish that. And then we'll move into Tawheed, which is, you know, the actual meat of the discussion. Up till here, these were introductory, I would say. Not introductory, but in conventional theology and in conventional aqa'id, usually these aren't covered. these things that we covered so far. It just starts with Tawheed, right? But in this book, he started with a few, you know, topics that, you know, aren't usually covered. So those were nice. I like them. After these two articles that we cover next week, we'll move into Tawheed. And it starts with Tawheed and its different levels and grades. And that's where, inshallah, we're gonna have to go deep into some things. And hopefully you guys will find those beneficial. Inshallah, keep us in your du'as. This weekend I'm going to Houston, inshallah, for another Death and Barzakh course there. Alhamdulillah, I think we're going to have a record number there. And we have a few more coming up in following weeks as well. Alhamdulillah, things are going well with these courses. And as I've said before, once we do the rounds with these topics, we're going to move on to new topics as well with these on-site courses that we hold. So inshallah, till next week, thank you for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.